And we begin this service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, divine love at the center of all reality. Amen. Well, great to be together. Thank you for making the effort to be together in person today in the sanctuary for community life. It's great to be here on this Sunday morning. And welcome everyone who joins us online. We send love to you and wish your well wishes back to us. We will receive with open hearts. Just a couple of announcements for our community, especially regarding Centenary Prayer Retreats. In about a week, just a week and a half, is Lent begins with Ash Wednesday, and that's on March 2nd. But right before then, we have an in-person Centering Prayer Retreat next weekend, February 23rd. And that is going to occur here in the sanctuary. So I invite you to explore, if you've not ever experienced a Centering Prayer Retreat together with other people, this is a wonderful place to do it. And you can learn more about that online and register for that online. Also, as I mentioned, Ash Wednesday is on March 2nd, and we'll have a noon service where we will have a brief service, which will be about 45-minute service, which will include the marking of the ashes upon our forehead as a symbol as we enter into the season of Lent, just a reminder of our bodies on these spiritual journeys, as spiritual beings, as physical bodies that come from the earth and return to the earth. And then we also are hosting an Ash Wednesday Centering Prayer that day from 1:30 to 5 o'clock in the evening. So you could come for the noon service, or you could just come for the retreat and then stay for the 6 o'clock evening service, which will also do the marking of the ashes. You might want to note it on your calendars that every Friday in Lent, we're offering what we did during Advent, and that is the Lux Divina, which is the sacred service Friday evening at 7 o'clock. It's about an hour long, and it will involve Eucharist, silence, scripture, being together in the candlelight as we make our journeys through Lent. It's a beautiful, sacred way of partaking. If you can't come to all, come to one, come to as many as you possibly can. And then also starting on the Friday, the first week of Lent on March 4th, I'll be teaching a class on the Gospel of John, particularly focusing on Jesus' passion, the preparing us for the Holy Week, looking at the inner meaning of the passion of Jesus. That's on Zoom only from 12 noon to 1 o'clock on April 8th, and then the Fridays through Lent. I've entitled that Spiritual Wisdom from the Gospel of John. There's more in your bulletin. I encourage you to take that home with you as a resource. It's also available in a digital form if you get the Friday emails. You can click on the Friday email link that says PDF of the bulletin, and you can read more to your heart's content on these different offerings. Today we have a very special moment in the life of our community. We get to do a baby dedication of Claire Motes, Brian and Catherine Motes' first child, a beautiful daughter who's here with us for the first time in the sanctuary. So we give thanks to God for that baby dedication. And also just the invitation for us to ponder what is at the heart of reality, and what might that be, that beautiful gift that we all are part of, the heart of reality. Let's take a moment now in the silence. You've made the effort to be here, to tune in. What is it that you are wishing for from this space, from this service? What is occurring in your life that needs the touch of God's grace? Divine love at the center of reality, arise now and awaken us, that we would be aware of your presence moving in our lives, bringing us to the fullness of our possibilities. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Please join us in invoking and acknowledging the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come. Spirit, come, oh. Please join us in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Brian and Catherine and baby Claire, I invite you to come forward. Brian and Catherine are joined today by Jim and Becky, Brian's parents, and Mary, Catherine's mother. And I believe Brian's brother is here as well. So welcome very much to the Church of Conscious Harmony. I had the privilege of officiating the wedding of Brian and Catherine 2 years ago last week, the 15th of February. And how did this happen?
We're not quite sure.
Oh, gosh. You know, we do baby dedications, we do baby baptisms, we do baby christenings, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, Catherine and Brian want little baby Claire to have the privilege of making her own choice as she grows into her later years to choose to be baptized herself. So today we're dedicating Claire. It's a long-standing biblical tradition of parents bringing their children to the temple to dedicate their child to God. You're doing so great.
She likes to move.
Yes. And it's been our tradition at the church to read this Cahil Gibran little quote on children. So as I read this, it's for you guys, but it's also as a way of reminding all the parents in the room and the grandparents of the room this truth. Little Claire, your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts. For they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls. For their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You, Brian and Catherine, are the bows from which your child, Claire, as a living arrow, is sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite and bends you with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable. And we celebrate the stable bow you guys have created in your home and your life through your spiritual practice and the beauty of your family life together. And what I want to do now is just take Claire into my hands. Yes, baby Claire. Hello, sweet child. And let's just extend our hands and arms of energy, of love, out to little baby Claire. Little Claire, this is your community. Feel the love of God. Know that you are a baby angel and that you are okay. Yes, yes. Let's just pray and bless these beautiful parents. Holy Spirit of God, we anoint this child with your love, knowing she's already yours, and proclaim to all her goodness, that she would know this and come into the fullness of her destiny, and that her essence would radiate long and far in this beautiful world. Bless Brian and Catherine as they endeavor to be patient, loving, and kind parents. Fill them with wisdom and their house with peace. Bless their grandparents. Bless this church who raised it. Yes. We love you, baby little Claire. I'm just going to do the rounds. Say, bless you, Claire. It's such a gift to us, Claire, because you're reminding us of ourselves, this deep truth. Whenever you've been in a fight or an argument with someone, just think of this little baby. So perfect. Yes. Okay. We love you.
Thank you.
Bless you. Yeah. Thank you, guys. This little rose is yours. You can press it. And just remember the moment. So, yeah, bless you. Yes. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Please join with me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
I will simply provide the conclusion of the message at the beginning in case we don't get to the end. At the heart of reality, the heart of reality, from the scriptures and through wisdom of many different traditions, at the heart of reality is this divine word. This word that is doing something and being something. This word that creates with an energy of love and intelligence and wisdom and a movement forward and outward. A word that is expanding and a word that is consuming. A word that is guiding. And this word is love. And the Greeks called it the Logos. Many other traditions call it different things. We'll talk about that. But at the heart of reality, at the heart of matter, physicality, is this divine impression, this divine imprint of energy that is doing things and that connects all things, every single particle of matter, every single person. And so we recognize by way of kindredness this word that is within us. And word is not the best word, But word conveys intelligence and order and rationality and beauty and symmetry and harmony. And it could also be the breath of God, that sense of that beautiful creating energy that is imprinted in every particle of matter in the universe. And that is a very wonderful way to think about reality. And apart from that understanding that there's something spiritual in the physical, and that the physical is actually spiritual, that the quantum world is now discovering in the scientific language that they can't tell what is energy and what is matter and what is matter and what is energy, and they seem to be interwoven so deeply. And as they keep tearing things apart to discover what is at the heart of matter, notice they have to destroy things. They have to collide things. It's a violence that needs to happen in order for us to even begin to have a glimpse at the heart of reality. God didn't have to do anything violent to create the heart of reality or matter. This is it's a different scale. We have to take things apart to understand them. God put them together. It's extraordinary. And so we are created in that image of God as co-creators, and we bear forth that same word in us that keeps us hungering to know more and to discover more and to contribute to the great conversation. I remember the first time that I had the privilege of going to the John Muir National Park just outside of San Francisco. I'd just be curious if anyone's been there. Just a good number of us have been to that park. And so you can feel, when you come into that valley, you know, it cools down 10 degrees. And I had the privilege of being there before anyone was there. It opened, it was free, you know, so you didn't have to pay. And I remember just standing in front of what they call this massive redwood tree, where the United Nations had a meeting in front of that. And there's a family of redwood trees there. It's like a temple of these redwood trees. And I just kind of, I couldn't get to it exactly, but because they had little barriers around it. But I just kind of did this to it and just wanted to hug it and connect with it and feel. This is one of the older elders to human beings. This is an elder to us, perhaps 2,000 years old, perhaps a little younger, older, give or take, but ancient wisdom there in that redwood. And I could feel as I walked through that redwood forest, just nestled in the little valleys, which allows the fog to get caught, which creates the perfect environment for these massive trees to grow. And just to feel the energy of how my mood changed, of how my disposition changed, of how I felt more in my body after walking 20, 30 minutes in that forest. It was a remedy unto itself, a remedy that I felt in my body. And perhaps you have had similar experiences. Another time I had a similar experience that I remember feeling that kind of tingling in my body, that relaxation in my body that put me at such ease. It was a winter day. It was 1976. Lived on 60th Street in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We had a huge snowstorm. Couldn't play outside. It was so much snow. But inside, the boiler in the basement was making the house warm, old brick house. And my mom was in the kitchen on a small little white stove. And I remember this to this day. She had a yellow bowl and a wooden spoon. And she was mixing in the batter, and she was going to make some of her most awesome bread. And I stood there on a little stool and watched her stir and then take that dough and put it onto a sheet. And I'll never forget the stickiness of that dough and the way it smelled. It probably was one of my first impressions of bread. And then putting it into the oven. And then over the next hour or so, I remember feeling and smelling that bread and what it smelled like in the house. And then the great consummating joy of when the thing came out of the oven and we all had afternoon tea sitting by the window looking out at the snow as it still fell down. And my mom had that warm, thick chunks of bread that was so hearty, and slathered butter on that, and apricot jam, and strawberry jam, and honey, and what my mom called honey hot tea. I hope you're watching, Mom. It's an impression that I can't get out of me. It's a part of me. It's part of coating in my being. And the way that bread smelled, I'll never forget it. And perhaps you've had moments of sensuality like that. And we could go on about experiences of sensuality in relationship to physicality and the beauty of that sensuality, whether it's a tree or a dog slobbering on your face, or little Claire when she held my hand, just that tiny hand, or the way a steak smells as you're grilling it, or the way bacon sizzles, or the way the earth at Barton Spring feels on a 7 a.m. morning in August, still dewy, or the way, you know, you can feel the earth tremble when a big thunderstorm hits here in Austin, and the fear and terror of those lightning strikes that seem to come out of nowhere and zap and charge the energy in the air, and the way the ocean heaves. And the way that salt gets into your lungs and your being, and it just gives you life. It connects you. The way the toes smush into the sand. And if you've been a gardener, the way the earth is in springtime, I'll never forget a little farm in Wisconsin, this gorgeous Hardwood Valley organic little farm. And the earth, the soil went down deep. You could dig 10 feet and you'd still hit this dark soil. Some of the richest soil along the Wisconsin River there, near Prairie du Chien. And you could just stick your whole hand down there and felt like you could grow another human. It was so rich, you know. And I remember just lying on the dirt and just smelling that dirt and getting dirt underneath my fingernails. And I realized that all this is worship. All this is the heart of matter. All this is the gift of being embodied. And all of this is extraordinarily on purpose for us. All of this on this planet is for us. And we have such a profound responsibility. We're the crowning matter of all that matters on this planet. We're the crowning matter of all the matter. And we treat it as if it doesn't matter. Or that we could make more matter. Or that this matter is more than that matter. This is a letter to all of us from Mark Zuckerberg. Mark is very interested in our church. That's a joke. I don't know. But Mark is very interested in the future of humankind. And just take what I've shared so far, the physicality of matter, those experiences. Just take them in. Maybe they triggered your own memories, smells, senses, embodiment. And now listen to Mark and his wisdom or his foolishness, depending on your perspective. But I hear here a man who has a vision. And I don't know what to make of it, but just listen with me. When I started Facebook, we mostly typed text on websites. When we got phones with cameras, the internet became more visual and mobile. As connections got faster, video became a richer way to share experiences. We've gone from desktop to web to mobile, from text to photos to video, but this isn't the end of the line, he says. The next platform will be even more immersive. Listen to this. It will be an embodied internet where you're in the experience, not just looking at this. We call this the metaverse, and it will touch every product we build. To me, I'll just pause the letter there, but to me, it's such a contradiction in terms. An embodied internet. Just think about that for a second. How do you embody yourself in the internet? The defining quality, he says, of the metaverse will be a feeling of presence. like you are right there with another person or in another place where they are. Feeling truly present with another person is the ultimate dream of social technology. What I want to say to Mr. Zuckerberg is, Mark, it's the ultimate dream of social technology. It's the current reality of spiritual practice. Feeling truly present with another person is the current reality of spiritual practice. You don't have to hope for this in the technological world. It's already here. Humankind is being led and running toward a way of being that's like the Tower of Babel. Human beings building themselves in their own image in the name of technology, doing creation different from the way God has done it. Some call this evolution, technological evolution. That's probably at some level unavoidable. And, you know, it's interesting. It's probably unstoppable. But this is his future that he envisions. In the metaverse, you'll be able to do almost anything you can imagine. Get together with friends, family, work, learn, play, shop, create, as well as completely new experiences that don't really fit how we think about computers or phones today. What he's talking about there, I think, is hinting at relationships. People will have relationships, get married in the metaverse, make love in the metaverse through VR goggles. In this future, you will be able to teleport instantly as a hologram to be at the office without a commute, at a concert with friends, or in your parents' living room to catch up. This will open up more opportunity no matter where you live. You'll be able to spend more time on what matters to you, cut down time in traffic, and reduce your carbon footprint. Think about how many physical things you have today that could just be holograms in the future. Mark Zuckerberg wrote this letter on October 28th last year, and he clearly is a visionary. And I resonate with a lot of what he's wishing for, because on the one hand, it's the spiritualization of matter again. And really, he's going back to the ancient concept that Plato taught, that ultimate reality is an idea, and the forms are just copies or shadows of the idea. And so what really matters isn't you, or this particular thing. What really matters is the universal, the meta, the thing that is beyond and above all of the particularity. At its worst extreme, that type of Platonic thinking, that the ideal is all that matters, leads to mass genocides in the name of some philosophical, political thing. And we've seen this happen in the last 100 years. That's radical Platonism. That the individual doesn't matter, just wipe out the whole class of Jewish people. They don't matter. What matters is the ideal of the super race. We've seen that happen. And it also is part of the philosophy that has created the materialistic perspective of the world that enabled so much of the resources of the earth to be taken in the name of some ideal of the great civilization, or commerce, or capitalism. Because this particular tree doesn't matter. We've got plenty of forests around. There'll be trees, but we can just take these trees. They don't really matter. On the other side is the Aristotelian model, which says there's nothing universal without a particular. That you can't know what the universal idea of a tree is unless you see a tree. You don't know what a human being is unless you talk about a particular human being. And thus Aristotle is the founder of modern science, which classifies and specifies and says you matter and you matter and you matter and each of you matter. So what we see here on the scale of civilization is this fusion, this continual movement between these two big ideas. This dualism between Platonism and Aristotelianism. And nothing's new under the sun. On the one hand, Mr. Zuckerberg's vision has a certain spiritualization to it that is appealing, in the certain sense, like you think Jesus ascended into heaven. Bernadette Roberts said that Jesus dissolved into air. And there's this kind of connection or resonance that God is kind of like the metaverse, that God is everywhere and in all things, and that consciousness is in everywhere and in all things. It's very much Hindu doctrine. And so there's a certain resonance there that everything is becoming interconnected and less physical, and that the physical doesn't matter. But like the movie The Matrix, and like the multiverse, and like the metaverse, these things are existing on this very intellectual, spiritual, energetic world that's holograms and highly, heavily dependent on the internet and electricity. But when someone's in the internet or in a hologram, all you have to do is unplug the electricity and they're no longer there. So the experience of the spiritualization of physicality is dependent upon physicality. Where's the electricity coming from that fuels the computer? Where are the rare minerals that fuel the technology in the microchips? Where is that coming from? So it's like a sleight of hand that our culture is saying, you can have it all. We can't have it all. It's being taken from somewhere to have what you want. And so all of us are in the midst of a significant evolutionary axial moment of human history. What will come of it is hard to say. It really doesn't even matter to a certain extent. We can't really do anything about it. But what we can do is think and pray and ponder and reconnect with our physicality and embodiment and cherish physicality. And at the heart of matter is the divine word, this energy of love and intelligence that connects all things and is creating all things at this very moment. There's a story of a Hasidic Jewish family, a rabbi, and his son. And the rabbi served a synagogue near the forest in the mountains. And during prayers in the morning, he observed that for several weeks his son would get up halfway through the prayer time and leave. So he asked his son finally about this, and he said, "Son, why are you leaving? Where are you going during prayer time?" And his son said, "I go out to walk into the forest and be in the mountains." And his father said, "Well, why?" And the son said, "Because I feel closer to God there." And his father, the wise rabbi, said, "Yes, my son, but you must realize that God is everywhere." And the son said, "Yes, God may be everywhere, but I feel him here in the woods." And that gets at this very specificity thing, that your view of God really matters. That if you have a high transcendent God who's above us, outside of creation, which is the monotheistic viewpoint, that God created creation and is outside of it, and created human beings in God's image, and they're kind of outside of creation, masters of creation. And many people have this view, and some interpret the book of Genesis that way, that God is outside of creation, transcendent to it. That type of attitude. Take what you will, do what you with it, master it, dominate it. The transcendent view of God. If you take that view alone, you end up with a materialistic, very technological culture, which we have. Very much reflects that viewpoint. Dominate over nature. And if you can integrate the omnipresent view of God, which is God is everywhere, in and through all things, which is basically like the logos concept, that's getting better. That's more of an integrated perspective, that God isn't just above and beyond, but God is through and throughout. But Bernadette Roberts taught me that when you say God is omnipresent, saying God is everywhere is almost as good as he's everywhere. If it's everywhere, it's nowhere. It's just almost that good, in the sense that you can't specifically say, and here is God. It's that allness. And so what balances it out is the immanence of God. God is in this particular thing, not just everywhere. So if God is everywhere, you can just throw that out. It doesn't really matter, because God's still everywhere. Just cut that tree down, because God's still everywhere. But if you integrate the immanence of God, and God's in this ant, and God's in this particle, and God's in this person, not just humans, not just beyond creation, not just in and through everything, but in this particular thing. So the insight and wisdom of the doctrine of the Trinity is a process of evolution of consciousness, of realizing we need upgrades in our understanding of God. That God's just not up here, upstairs, like the old man. God's not just in and through all things, but God's in everything, the omnipresent, the immanent, and the transcendent. It's very, very useful to think about it in those terms. The Chinese, this is a wonderful writer by the name of Douglas Christie, and his book is entitled The Blue Sapphire of the Mind, Notes of a Contemplative Ecology. And if you've never read Douglas Christie, this is a treasure of a book that integrates all of the wisdom of the Christian contemplative tradition and other contemplative traditions woven together through an ecology. But this is what he writes in his chapter on the Logos, which he subtitles The Song of the World. The Chinese define the Tao, the way of great nature, eluding analysis, beyond categories, self-organizing, self-informing, playful, surprising, impermanent, insubstantial, independent, complete, orderly, unmediated, freely manifesting, self-authenticating, self-willed, complex, and quite simple. A lot of words. It's suggested that the word wild might be a good description for what the Chinese define as Tao. Close to this Chinese concept of the Tao is the Hindu or Buddhist term Dharma and its original sense of forming and framing. Or we might add, close to this, the Jewish understanding of Sophia, wisdom, understood as the enlivening life force sustaining the very structure of the world and the properties of the elements. Close also to the Tao, the Dharma, and Sophia is the Christian understanding of the Logos, the Word, understood as the generative utterance through which the universe came into being, by which it is still sustained at this very second. Tao, Dharma, Sophia, Logos, all words, common, language that invites us to consider again the cosmological sensibilities of our great religious traditions and the informing spiritual principles that arise from paying close attention to the wild things of this planet. The wild world has its own voice, its own language. Learning how to listen, whether in a field, by the ocean, in a chapel, in the redwood forest, in a hologram, in an online Zoom room, is our task. And so, to be aware of these great big ponderings is fun for me. It may be torture for you, but you can see in Mark Zuckerberg's letter, and he's not the only one thinking along these lines. Ilya Delio and many others are thinking along these lines, friend of our community. Being human is really an incredible, miraculous gift. And being embodied, being material, is really an incredible, miraculous gift. And being together is a miracle, that we exist as physical beings is a living miracle, that there's an intelligence and a divine order that wishes it to be this way. And I don't know about the future, I really don't. I can be here in the present and do my practice and love deeply and to feel and to sense and to be embodied and to celebrate the heart of matter, which isn't just energy. It's not just energy or particles that are energized like electricity. The heart of matter isn't just energy. It's not just consciousness. It's not just mind. It's relational. It's love. And this is the Christian message to the world. I have come so that you might know the Father, and the Father is in you, and you in the Father, and I am in you, and you in me. The heart of matter isn't just consciousness. It's love. And love without consciousness can tend toward naivete and sentimentality. But consciousness without love can lead to technocratic gods and technology that is heartless and cultures that are so addicted to performance, perfection, and productivity that we rape the very earth that gives us our life. And so these are significant things to think about, and the heart of matter is here to call us into deeper relationship with ourselves, with one another, and with God. And the Eucharist, just you can't imagine a more profound practice to teach us day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, the humility of matter and the gentleness of bread feeding us little by little, the body of Christ, the heart of matter. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence and just let what lingers unsaid and what needs to be said in your heart. Holy Spirit of God, giver of energy and life and love, we wish to consent to your presence and action, that we would be participants of the divine nature in these bodies as these bodies, with other bodies, in the body of the earth and the body of the cosmos. In Christ we pray. Amen. I want to just give an encouragement to the community. Every Lent we oftentimes have a devotional reader that we use, a daily reader. But this is a different type of daily reader for Lent. It's a visual, it's an image of day, profound, mystical, esoteric, beautiful images with a little comment. So for a community that reads so much, you know, we can just have a little picture book every now and again. And this is called The Art of Lent. The Art of Lent, A Painting a Day from Ash Wednesday to Easter by Sister Wendy Beckett. And you can get that online in various places. So encourage you to check that out. She also has one for Holy Week and Easter, but this includes Holy Week and Easter, so you only need this one. But it'll be a blessing. I look forward to using it daily with Marcia. Blessings. Let's stand and give our hearts this song.
The living one. Breathing in, I have a body. Breathing out, I release. Breathing in, I love my body here and now. My body is a wonder. Breathing in, my body is the cosmos. Breathing out, made up of earth and water, air and sun. Breathing in, I have a body. Breathing out, I release. Breathing in, I love my body here and now. Breathing out, I carry those before me. Breathing in, I carry what's to come. Breathing out, this moment can bring healing to us all. Breathing in, I have a body.
Let us now rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way to consent to God's love, presence, and action in our lives.
Most gracious and loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, giver of this and every moment, we thank you that your word has birthed us and that the power of language and your words and prayer create reality and shape reality. We ask that you would hear and that reality would respond to these prayers. We wish for comfort and healing for J.C. Shakespeare's mother Mary, for Leanne Billups' daughter Mariah. We pray especially for those experiencing grief as they have made their transition into eternal life, for the family of Phil Knighton. We pray for Leonard, for strength and healing. We pray for Leslie Rogers' friend Holly. We pray for Marcia Silver, for provision of needs in divine order. We remember especially our brother Don, who has procedure tomorrow. Bring healing, comfort to all these beloveds named. And we lift up those who remain quiet in our hearts at this time. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us the faith to pray with that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to uncap your host at this time and then recap it. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ for us all. Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the body of Christ, for the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and join in singing Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
Thank you each for your presence here, for making this service matter more because of your presence. It's been a gift to be together. Just a couple thoughts before we leave to share with you. The board of directors met this weekend and has decided to go to mask optional language starting next Sunday. So that will be a change for all of us and a much welcome one, I think. But again, we'll have a section only here for mass, just to respect our musicians. And so this little section here on the left will be mask only. The motes are here. If anyone wants to greet little baby Claire, you guys can stay up front if you'd like. I'll be up front, and Bev will be greeting you as you leave on the bridge. If you're new or visiting for the first time, I'd love the privilege to meet you. Let's take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our heart or consciousness or hands and remember the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. The love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace and power of the Holy Spirit is with us now and always. Amen.